This episode of the Selling Out Show is brought to you by our partners at Wonky Weeds. All set to relax, sit back, and just let your mind wander freely after a hectic day? Check out Wonky Weeds' delicious Delta 8 edibles. Wonky Weeds Delta 8 comes from U.S. grown hemp, free from chemicals and pesticides. You can find their amazing line of products at wonkyweeds.com.
Does is reaches into your brain chemically and locates your happiest memory chemically, and then locks onto that emotion and freezes it chemically, and then it keeps your happy.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the Selling Out Show, where we screw up life at our leisure for your listening pleasure. I am one of your hosts, David Chicharone, and boy, do I have a treat for all you fine furry folks. Today, we have a return. Yes, indeed, a return for the ages. Oh, yeah, my good pal, my buddy, my partner in crime, Nate Gorzinski, is here today. Nate, how are you?
I'm good, man. I've been on a little adventure since we last talked. It's been kind of crazy, but I'm doing great. I'm feeling good. I was just thinking before we started recording how good I feel, man. I'm like ready to go. I've been, you know, not to spoil everything, but I'm back going to the gym. So I just feel real good, man.
You know? Yeah. You get a suitcase full of stickers.
Yeah.
From all your adventures.
Yep. Visas stamped, whatnot, you know.
But, yeah. Climbed to the highest mountains, spoken with the wise men.
That's right.
Were a celibate, or used to be celibate until you climb that mountain. So that's all good stuff. Mm-hmm. And you know what? We are going to dive into some of those adventures because we have a great show planned here, chock full of goodness. But, you know, before we dive into that, it's a special season right now, Nate.
That's true. It's fairly.
You're aware of this.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole Black Friday thing, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Or Thanksgiving? Well, yes. That's a precursor. Yeah. I mean, Thanksgiving, I'm surprised it even exists anymore.
Yeah.
Considering that it goes from Halloween to Christmas.
Right.
Pretty much right off the bat. But yes, indeed, it is a holiday season. And I don't know about you, but I'm pretty jacked for Christmas. I am very eager to play the role of Santa Claus, not only because I will, in fact, be getting kisses. But my kid's getting a little older now, so it's the Santa myth or myth.
Mythos.
Lie.
The Santa mythos.
The bold-faced lie that you tell children to make them believe in magic, and then they get the rug yanked out from under them. There is no magic. Nothing is real. Your whole life is nothing but a big, ugly fib. But anyway, it's soon enough it's going to come to an end.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And I'm dreading this.
Really? What is it? Because it's like the end of an era, like the magic kind of goes away. Is that what it is? Because,
well, yeah, you know. That's part of it. The other thing is, I'm not the person who's going to be ruining it. It's going to be some rotten little fucking shitty petri dish crap head at his school. It's probably, hey, you know, there's no fucking Santa Claus, man.
Yeah.
And he's going to come home to me, and I'm like, oh yeah, well, that kid's a liar.
Yeah.
He's the liar. I'm not the liar. I'm the one who gives you all that cool shit, you know?
And then,
oh, wait, I can't say that.
Oh, yeah. Within the next year or so, you'll be admitting it, and then you're just going to throw his sense of trust out the window, you know?
Well, so, yeah. I think the gifts don't hurt. Hey, at least I bought you all that shit all these years.
Right.
Remember that cool thing?
That's the thing.
It was me.
It wasn't Santa. You know, that's the thing. Santa's getting all the credit for all the shit you get him, and so... It'll be nice to get those kudos a little bit, you know, the selfish part of giving, you know.
Yeah, the credit will come after the crying. That's what's going to happen. After all those tears are shed, I'm finally going to be able to say, yes, I maxed out my credit cards to make sure you had a very happy capitalist Christmas.
Right.
And that was me.
And that gratitude that you'll get for all those years, that back gratitude will cancel out the anger that you lied for all those years. And it'll even itself out, and you'll just be dad, you know.
Yep, just dad. Just good old dad. And dad loves watching Christmas movies.
Oh, man, who doesn't?
I do. Yeah. Well, you know, listen, Nate, I'm not like Hallmark Channel watching Christmas movies, because those are just terrible.
Sure.
You know, but I mean, the classics. I stick to the classics. Have you watched any Christmas movies yet this season, or
we
are you avoiding them, or what?
We watched our tradition is like Halloween, Thanksgiving. Ooh. No, not Halloween. We're not like the stores. We don't start Christmas immediately after Halloween. After Thanksgiving, however, the night after we eat on Thanksgiving, we watch the National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. It's kind of become a tradition.
Yes, I love that you said that, because that's a tradition of mine as well. It's always been my number one Christmas movie. Actually, it just got bumped down last year to number two.
Oh, boy.
Despite the years that it was at the number one spot by 8-Bit Christmas. I don't know if you've seen that yet, but I sing the praises of that film all the time. Yeah. But you did bring up Christmas Vacation, though. Mm-hmm. You are very familiar with all the lines in the movie, because, you know, everything now has become just iconic.
Right. Meme-worthy, as the kids say.
Meme-worthy, yeah. Mm-hmm. And with that, I think there is one role in that film that could benefit by a recasting.
Okay.
Now, this may come as a surprise to many. But I think, especially now, we know the guy's a complete nut job. It probably helps my case a little bit. But, you know, Cousin Eddie.
Right.
I think Cousin Eddie could be recast. And here is going to be my pitch right now. So bear with me as I play my recast version of Christmas Vacation.
Do you hear it? It's a funny squeaky sound.
You couldn't hear a dump truck driving through a nitroglycerin plant.
God damn it, baby, no, I ain't lying to you. I'm only gonna tell you one time.
David Lee Roth needs to be Cousin Eddie.
Diamond.
What do you
Dave.
Say?
Diamond
Dave.
Yes, Cousin
we
Eddie.
Put him in, yes, the blue leisure suit. He is in the film. I think that would improve that movie exponentially. I don't know if I can talk to the producers, the company that owns it, maybe get it recut or something. But I mean, I'm on a gold mine of an idea here.
Right. It's like the era of the Zack Snyder cut where, you know, we can influence and reshoot films. So maybe
this is the Chicharron cut. Yes, exactly. Nate, you get me, guy. You get me. Could you just imagine... for example, when any scene with Cousin Eddie, let's say shitter's full, but in assless chaps. How much better would that have been? I mean, just come on. I deserve an award for this. I really do.
Yeah, he's jumping and doing the splits as he's dumping out the shitter into the drainage ditch, whatever it was.
Yeah. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You're all gonna jump. Yeah, dump her in the sewer. I mean, that didn't make any sense, but yeah, you get the whole gist of everything. So, you know, where does this begin? Where does it stop? That's what I want to know.
Mm.
What happens now? I come to you with gold in my hand, and you know, we do it with Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
We can do it with other films too. I mean, we have the technology. Hell, I just made my own clip. Of what I wanted to see in the film. I mean, is there any... How about you?
Right.
Hit me with something you think would be a ultimate recasting of a classic. Christmas.
Sure. I mean, I'm starting to think that, you know, Clint Howard, Ron Howard's brother, the character actor.
Oh, sure.
I think he would have been a great Ralphie in A Christmas Story. I can't really...
So a young...
No,
Howard.
Not at all.
Oh,
just a full grown Clint Howard, weird looking, big bald head, just beating the shit out of the bully. And that would change that scene dramatically. This
old bald man
punching this, you know, grade school kid in the face and bloody in his mouth.
I think it's a good idea because the real estate on the forehead when Santa pushes him down the slide.
Yeah.
With the boot, right? It's perfect right there. Yeah, so there you go. That's an interesting take.
The kid's tongue could get stuck to the forehead instead outside. You know, and it just gets cold.
that would be good. I like that one. It's not as good as David Lee Roth.
No.
Granted. Replacing Cousin Eddie.
Right.
Yeah, but it's up there.
It's more of a visual.
A solid
thing.
Two.
Yeah, it's a visual thing. <you know?
laughs> Yeah, it sure is. But I like it a lot.
Do you know what's funny? Clint Howard came to my mind because since our last meeting, since I've last been on the air here.
Yeah. Why?
I went on a little trip to visit my brother who lives in Colorado. I talk about how I visit him here and there.
Sure.
But it wasn't for a ski trip. Like this was Halloween. This was Halloween. And so there was no snow anywhere, but we went to this town called Telluride. It's like a really nice mountain town in like this little valley. It's just this cool, quaint little town. It's rich people and whatnot. But they do every year at Halloween, they do a horror film fest. And it's a pretty well-respected, well-known film fest. If you look up the Telluride Horror Fest, it's a thing. Like,
okay, I'll take your word for it anyway. I don't need to Google it.
All right, fine. I was just in case you need some proof, but
sure,
bibliography included.
We
went. There's a bunch of little theaters in the town. You go and watch movies. It's like 3 days long. You just kind of look at the schedule, what's playing, and you see a bunch of underground horror, up and coming stuff. Mostly a lot of little shorts, like 9 minutes, 5 minutes, little like horror scenes that people film that are really cool. But my point is, this year there was a special guest, and there's a famous, among certain circles, a famous horror movie in the 80s called The Ice Cream Man. It was about a psychotic ice cream man. And sure. Actually, it might have been the 90s. And the ice cream man was played by Clint Howard. And they were doing the anniversary of it at this horror festival. They were playing it, the movie from back in the day. And Clint Howard was there. And they had a little ice cream social at one point. If you had a ticket, you could go and get ice cream for free, whatever. And Clint Howard was one of the people scooping the ice cream. So it's just this surreal thing. Clint Howard was scooping us ice cream, man. And like, yeah, it was, nice guy.
Oh, you were there? You had the ice cream with Clint?
Yeah, I took a picture of him. Holy moly.
Yeah. I would have been like Invisalign maybe guy. You ever think about that? I mean, all that money you got, your brother's rich, his daughter's loaded. Everybody's loaded. You must have a few bucks too.
Yeah, well, he had a full beard this time. He looked a little different. He looked a little mountain man-y, and it kind of made him look a little more normal. He was wearing like a beanie hat and had a beard. So he just kind of looked like some mountain man, with a bushy beard. Yeah. But you realized who it was. I took a picture of him. You can see that it's him. But
he's perfect for scooping ice cream.
Yeah.
Big beard, really hairy.
Yeah. Yeah, you got little hairs in your ice cream. It was great.
Yeah, it's a little pube with your rocky road.
But it's Clint Howard. Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. I think on the eBay set, his memorabilia or his pubes probably don't sell for as much as you think they would.
Yeah, it's a sentimental thing. I will never throw it away.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? More power to you. And, for a second there, I was wondering where the hell you were going. I'm like, this guy just derailed my whole Christmas vibe. Talking about Halloween.
Telluride. Yeah.
Telluride. And trust you me. It's a real thing. I'm not making this up. Listen. I really met Clint Howard. Yes, we believe you. But you know what? The end result was a nice little addition to the show.
Sure. Like, listen, have faith, man. I will get there eventually. You just got to stick with me,
Yeah.
I'll bring it back. Always trust me to bring it back.
Let's bring it back this way, okay? Just one more time for the people in the cheap seats.
Do you hear it? It's a funny squeaky sound.
Sold. Sold. Merry Christmas to everybody. Tiny Tim, you too.
Do you know that that woman, do you know that she was the original voice of Betty Boop?
Really?
Yeah. That's
I didn't
Betty
know
Boop.
That, no.
Yeah.
I hate Betty Boop, so now I hate her as an extension.
Well, I'm sure she's
disliking.
Dead. So, yeah. All right.
Yeah, she is. So wow, you know, you are full of useful information. Let me tell
you all about it.
Oh yeah, Nate will tell you all about it.
You feel better because an old woman is dead.
Oh, come on, let's not exaggerate.
I'm just fucking with you.
Stop taking it out of proportion, making this a mountain out of a molehill. Oh, but man. I am glad.
Yeah.
Good riddance to old garbage. So you know, thanks for the memories, babe.
Yeah.
Let's change gears here a little bit.
Okay.
Let's mix it up because we're having a lot of fun.
Yeah. Let's stop.
Christmas. Let's stop. Yeah. Let's nip that in the bud.
Yeah. Let's change it up.
Let's cut that out. Huh? Yeah. But, you know, you have been gone for a long time, Nate, and I think we all deserve an explanation considering the last time you were on the show was September, which was quite a while ago. So do you want to fill us in at all and you know, what you've been up to, what you've been doing, or do you want us to go fuck off?
Yeah, man. If you want to, you know, if you want to go there, we'll go there, man. Well,
how far do you want to go?
we'll just see. We'll jump in the car and however far the gas takes us, we'll go there. But
okay. EV, electric vehicle, 2 miles.
That's it. I hope you're charged up.
I hope you're charged up, Elon fucking Musk. Piece of shit. Had to throw that in there. All right. You. It's about you. I'm sorry. Carry on, my wayward son.
All right. So, yeah, since September, things have gotten weird. I'm going to put a little preface to the story by saying we started this series a couple of years ago, this series of shows, our show. I guess it's a series. It's a bunch of episodes.
Yeah.
You know, call it a series.
More than a couple, too, Nate. It's been like 4 years.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Some years ago.
It's a couple of a couple.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. Math.
But I wanted to correct, before we get into everywhere I've been, I just wanted to correct something that we started this show with. The first episode, I made a foolish claim and kind of like spread some misinformation. I just want to, now years later, want to correct it after hopefully nobody followed my advice.
Well, misinformation is the trade of the day, isn't it? You were ahead of the curve.
I was doing fake news before it was cool.
You were.
You are wrong.
Oh boy, here we go. We confession time.
Yeah, man. So on that first episode, I mentioned a product called Kratom, and I talked about how I myself have a past with opiate addiction, and this stuff, Kratom, is sold legally over the counter, and people talk about how if you're an addict, it can help get you off opiates, you can, you know, it'll satisfy that kind of craving. And when I talked about it, I had recently started using it, and I was singing its praises, and I was talking about how, yeah, this stuff's great. It's not as strong as opiates. It's not technically not an opiate. It's not addictive. And that's the point I wanted to bring up because I was foolish. I hadn't done enough research and I hadn't done enough experimentation apparently because before long I realized that the stuff feels good. I'm surprised they sell it in the stores because it does. It feels like a drug. It feels like a mild opiate. And so when you're into opiates, if somebody that's into opiates, yeah, you could sort of, I don't think it would help you if you were in withdrawal from opiates. I don't know if that would really help you, but my point is it would kind of get rid of that craving. If you had a craving for an opiate, this stuff would kind of fill that gap. You know, I started doing it because of my addictive personality. I was doing this shit multiple times a day. You scoop it in some water, you stir it, make a little tea. And I was making these like big scoops of it like 4 or 5 times a day, like every like 4 hours that I was awake. Before long, if I went 4 or 5 hours, I would start like yawning and my eyes would start watering. And it was like a mild opiate withdrawal. And you know, as an addict, when I start feeling shit like that, I just start doing it more. I'm like, all right, well, if I do it, it's going to stop that feeling. So I just automatically start doing it. Before long, dude, you talked about how long we've been doing this show. I've been doing Kratom that whole time. And the last year or two, I've been just like, dude, how am I going to get off this shit? And like, first I was feeling guilty about the show we did. So I'm trying to right that wrong right now, but. Right. Yeah, I've been kind of like just desperate and, you know, I'm in a band. I remember I was playing a show one day and I'd forgotten my kratom at home. And dude, I was like, I had trouble getting through the show. And like I said, this stuff is sold legally over the counter. You know, it's like, so my warning to everyone out there is just be careful. You know, it's something if you try it once or twice, it's not going to hurt you. It's definitely less dangerous than an opiate, than like heroin or fentanyl, but it's not without its problems. You know, it's not without its dangers. So everyone just be careful. I apologize for the misinformation. And dude, just as an addendum, the path my story took me, I finally was able to get off that shit. So there's that, but.
Yeah, well, I mean, it takes a lot of courage to say you were wrong. You know, the thing is, I don't recall the exact conversation we had that first episode, but did you say, hey, everybody, this is non-addictive stuff and it's going to change your world for the better?
Basically, I did.
Uh-oh. Not good.
Not good at all.
Okay. Well, you know, yet again, here we are. You corrected. But you know what? You did say you hadn't been taking it for that long when you were recommending it. So you were kind of taken advantage of.
Yeah. I was ignorant.
The jump.
Yeah. I was ignorant.
Ignorant.
Yeah. And there is a lot of false information like that online. I succumbed to it. You know, I was like the Church of Kratom. I think we even talked about that in the show. We said it sounded like something like Kratos from God of War's scrotum.
Yes.
You said
scrotum. You're refreshing my memory.
All right. That'll do it.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? This is a good lesson to everybody. If you haven't heard our episodes, go back and listen to them. Just take them with a little bit of a grain of salt, apparently. But
yeah,
definitely go check those old ones out. I need to. It's been a while.
Yeah. All right. So, so where have I been? Because I've been like doing this addictive substance for the last few years, and all of a sudden, like, I've been having a lot of back pain. I started this new job and I've been standing up more, and my back has just been bothering me more. Cause another thing that listeners will know if they listen to old episodes is that I had a spinal infection a few years ago, and I was absent from the show back then too. I was in the hospital for like 2 months. But I'm all better from that, except my back is a little weaker. You know, it's got some problems. I got a lot of arthritis and some issues with it lately. So that and like my social anxiety with this new job, it's like a job I'm dealing with the public all the time. I started, you know, I don't want to get too detailed, but I started backsliding. I mentioned that I, you know, have a history of addiction. I started backsliding. And things were getting out of control again. And before it got too bad, like after a few weeks of this, like old behaviors, I said, I need to frickin' fix this before, you know, I'm back in hell. I was so grateful to be out of that lifestyle for a couple of years. I've been good for years at this point, but it just shows how that shit can sneak back up on you. And,
yep.
And so I ended up going to get some help. I went to a facility, which I've been to over the years, over my decades of, you know, history. I've been dozens of times to these sort of places. And so it's no big deal. But the reason it's discussion worthy is just because over the years, like it's amazing to see how much the system has changed. Like when you go into, that's kind of the theme of this show is like, you know, how much things are different now from when they were, when we were younger and this and that. And like,
oh yeah.
So I'm just saying like back in the day, it was a certain way. You got certain food, you got certain groups and therapy and things like that. And like, whatever, like the type of care you got was like very, I don't know. It seems
personal.
Like,
I'm waiting. Sorry to interrupt you, but I'm waiting for you to say now you get all your treatment from robots.
No, but it's
it's
not robots, but it's a lot less contact with people. Like I think they started realizing that between the lack of like help, it's harder to find help to work in these places. I don't think they pay great, and it's frustrating work. And a lot of people that work in these places may be addicts themselves. And so, you know, there's that risk of someone relapsing and not being able to work in a facility like that, maybe. And like shit like that, you know, it is what it is. But, But over the years, it just seems like maybe it's that, maybe it's the lack of help. Maybe it's the fact that they realize that most people that are in treatment don't feel good and they don't want to be woken up every like hour to go to a group when they just rather lay in bed for the first day or two that they're there. Because that was a thing that would always happen. You'd always get woken up. You feel like shit. They make you go to these groups and, you know, eventually the groups help. But in the beginning, you're just like, I just want to lay down. I'm trying to kick, you know, I'm trying to deal with this. But nowadays, if you have two groups a week, it's like there's nothing going on. It's like you go there, you get your medication that you may get, and you lay in bed, you sit in the day room. There would be a TV in the day room. Nowadays, they put Roku TVs in every room, which sounds great.
Look at that. Yeah, posh. It sounds great. Wait, it isn't great?
It's nice to have the distraction and to kill the time. But, dude, so it's like four of us in this room, and it's a big room, and there's a Roku TV on the wall, and these dudes would just keep the light off and the shades drawn all day like a movie theater. And watch like shit and watch it all through the night. Like I hate going to sleep with a light on. Like I want the dark, especially when I'm not feeling good. Just, you know, I mean, they were nice guys, all this shit. We ended up watching the whole series from episode one till the end of Breaking Bad, it took like 3 days of like steady watching, like, you know, like,
yeah, I bet.
And it's a great show. I had seen it before, but it was nice to redo it. But, dude, this is why I bring this up. I had two of my roommates that I was asking them, you know, what they never call you to get your meds, you know, what are you here for? And one of them was there for alcohol. One of them was there for some, I forget. But I'm like, you guys aren't getting meds? They're like, no. So you called this place. You came here. You're here for a week. They're not giving you medication. You're not getting any groups. You called to watch Breaking Bad in a room. Basically, yeah, that's your therapy.
For the Roku. Yeah, Roku TV is enough. Man, if you've ever binged any amount of Murder, She Wrote, you'd be checking yourself in there right quick. Mm. You need some Angela Lansbury. That's the fix you need. Fuck yeah. Methadone. I need some Jessica Fletcher in my life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. It's, you know, yeah, I know. It's funny. We watched Breaking Bad and then we watched Narcos. So it's like all these drug references for shows, dude. Like they had no ban on like what you could watch or anything. So everyone's like watching crazy shit and like, which is fine. We're all adults, but it's just, you know, a bunch of addicts watching drug material on TV can be a little
that's
risky.
Rough. But, yeah, risky is right. Yeah, that's not a great way to curb your impulses. You know what I mean? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's kick that smack. Hey, what do you want to watch? I want to watch Smackity Smack Smack on Roku.
Trainspotting.
Yeah. There you go. And I just made up a fake show.
Yeah.
So Hollywood producers call me. Smackity Smack Smack is available.
Smackity Smack Smack is Trainspotting 3, I think.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, you know, you're no originality. You're just throwing fucking movies that already exist out there. I'm coming with those fresh ideas. Did you, buddy.
You're an ideas guy. That's what you do, man. You know?
That's what I do. It's all I do. I don't act on them. They just sit in my brain, you know, like a addict trying to reform themselves in rehab. They just sit there watching Roku channel. That's what they do. All right, so you got your meds, though. The other people didn't get their meds. You were at least proactive enough to say, hey, med me while I sit here and watch Breaking Bad for the 180th time.
Yes, absolutely, man. And, all right, so I'm gonna reveal something right now that I also was able to bring in. I know this sounds like contradictory to what I was there for, but keep an open mind. I managed to bring in a small bottle of THC oil, like tincture, to like help me ease the pain. Cause I'm telling you, cannabis is far less dangerous. I wasn't there for cannabis withdrawal. You know what I mean? I was there for opioid withdrawal. So like the cannabis honestly helped me kind of just calm down while I was in there. I found that out, you know, another time I went in, I was able to get some in and like, years ago, and I realized it's like, this is, it's harm reduction. You know, it's not like, it's not an addictive drug I'm doing. It's helping me. I almost think they should start using cannabis in detoxes because it's like, yeah, they give you, you know, if you're an alcoholic, they give you like Valium or Librium, which is another drug. If you're kicking opioids, they give you methadone, which is another drug, and they're just, they decrease it, whatever, but they could use cannabis. It honestly, I feel like, helps me more than any of the comfort meds they give you, any of the, you know, stuff for your stomach or your, you know, muscle relaxes, this and that. Like, the cannabis honestly provides more relief when I'm going through that shit. So
yeah, it's natural.
Yeah, but
it's of the earth, even though that begs the question.
Yeah.
To sneak something in there.
River.
You know, is there, what kind of situation is that to sneak into contraband?
Oh, I don't think it's as racy as you're implying there. I mean, I've been going to these types of facilities, like I mentioned, for, you know, years, you know, dozens of years, dozens of times going in. And so over time, you kind of like learn where the little like chinks in the armor are, where the little, yeah, like, you know, where you can kind of get through. So that's all I'll say. It wasn't like a nature's pocket scenario.
You know how to swim across the moat so the gators don't get you.
Exactly.
That's what you're trying to say. Yeah. No gators nipping at your heels. So, Oh, yeah. Nature's pocket. I can see it right now in the frozen food section next to the Hot Pockets. Nature's pocket.
Nature's pocket. It's like an organic Hot Pocket.
Oh, is it ever? Yeah. Is it ever, baby? Oh, yeah. Oh, Lord. Well, you know, I'm glad that you're feeling better. You mentioned you're in the gym.
Yeah.
Getting healthy, getting swole, feeling jacked, all that good stuff. You know, you're in a good place again because we're all humans. Shit happens. We're not robots as much as I wish we all were.
Yeah.
So, you know, fucking stuff happens, man. Stuff goes down.
Yeah, you know, I'm feeling good about it. Like, I feel like if it took that relapse to get me off the kratom, because that's what I'm saying, like, I couldn't get off that shit. And I ended up relapsing, and which brought me to a detox. And during the time in that detox, I ended up not doing kratom for that week. So I was coming off of that too. I was having trouble getting off it on my own. So this, you know, and I couldn't have called that facility and said, can I come there for kratom withdrawal? They'd be like, what?
You know, it's illegal, dude.
Yeah. They'd be like, dude, just
sell it here. We sell it.
In our gift shop at the detox. Yeah. They have a gift shop on the way out.
Oh my God. Imagine that. The detox gift shop. Oh, we're terrible human beings.
I went to detox and all I got was this lousy Johnny.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. I went to detox and all I did was sneak in some contraband to get a swollen anus.
Moon River.
You know, I mean, come on now. Swimming moats. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Nate. Well, is there anything you want to add to any of this? Or do you want to kind of move on to a different thingamajiggy? Or
we can move on wherever you want to move on. I want to apologize to our listeners because my head hasn't been right. And this marks, I don't know if it marks the first, maybe the first or second episode that I haven't prepared a Nate's notes. And I feel awful about it, but, you know, cut me some slack. It's been a rough month or two, and I'll get back to business. I promise. I'll make a promise right here that I'll have one ready for the next one. But, you know, but I'll just say life is beautiful. It's full of music. I'm jamming on my bass just to get a musical reference in there. I've been back into playing music, back into discovering a lot of new music, listening to it. So my life is still full of music. I just don't have a lot to share about it today. So, because other things have been on my mind. But that's all, Dave. That's all I'll say.
Right on. I'm sure there's a Nate's Notes enthusiast out there who's been waiting this entire time listening to us going, damn, when the hell are they going to get to that Nate's Notes? I mean, that's all I live for. And, you know, oh, no, there's no Nate's Notes coming. Sorry, put down your lipstick and your semi-automatic rifles.
What?
Yes, maybe next time out. I have to apologize. Again, on Nate's behalf, since he said sorry so many times, I'm going to say sorry, too.
All right.
But I'm not sorry for anything. Really, I'm just saying sorry to say sorry.
Look, I'm just happy to be alive, Dave.
Yeah.
And I'm I'm happy to be waking up. You know, I know I'm bringing the whole episode to this weird energy, but I am feeling like super good, super healthy, super renewed in my like vigor for life. And like, you know, I just feel like a huge weight is off my shoulders, especially with that Kratom shit. So yeah, man,
it's great.
Life is good. I hope everyone enjoys it. It has a great holiday too, you know, that's all. It's a good time of year.
Very good. Very good. Since I don't have any segue music prepared, before I get into my next little bit here, I am going to play some pure gibberish to kind of lighten the mood. Sound good?
Great.
God damn it, baby. No, I ain't lying to you. I'm only going to tell you one time.
I want to thank the partners of our humble little program, Northland Vapor, alpinehemp.com, which actually got the .com. Northland Vapor didn't get that treatment. You see that? Death by Gummy Bears, Wonky Weeds. At those sites, if you use code SELLINGOUT20, you save 20% off your entire order. Stocking stuffers! Oh, yeah! Nice gifts for the family who want to relax. Whether you like CBD tinctures, vape juices. I'm vaping right now. I've been vaping this entire show on my Blue Raz e-liquid from Northland Vapor. So make sure you check all them out and use that coupon code. It's Christmas. Put some more bucks in your pockets while making everybody happy as hails. And then Spunk Lube. Yep, spunklube.com. Spunk Lube is an award-winning lubricant used by professionals in the adult film industry, but why let them have all the fun? Let's help Santa slide down that chimney this year, or in the chimney, any way he wants to do the chimney, by visiting spunklube.com and getting an order delivered discreetly to your home. And you try Spunk Lube today, you can thank me later, and all that good stuff. So yeah, and this is normally where we'd insert Nate's notes, but Nate just went into a little thing about not having any of that. So instead, I want to talk some TV. Is that cool, Nate?
That's cool.
Because I love talking TV. I watch way too much TV because I'm a fat turd. I am a big, fat, turd-tastic human being. And it's obscene how much TV I watch. And I'm not ashamed by that, really. I mean, come on.
You're human.
I am human. I detox and Roku sounds like a wonderful thing to me because that's what I'm doing at home anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you're in a more comfortable bed than I was. That was half the problem.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah, I bet. Oh, yeah. I bet. My bed is super nice. It's a king size, too. For anybody who wants a glimpse on how the sausage is made, a little peek behind the curtain.
Where the magic happens.
Yeah, when Dave Chicharron's about to get down, he's got a lot of room to work. You know what I mean? You need a lot of highway. This motherfucker kicks it 0 to 60 like nobody's business. Yeah. But I have a recommendation.
Yeah.
Because it's very rare, despite how much TV I just admitted to watching, that a show blows me away.
Oh, shit.
I mean, I am just like sitting there in awe, cannot wait until the next episode, in eager anticipation, not only due to the factor that the story is good, but I mean, every aspect about the show is a delight, whether it was the casting, the cinematography, to the score, I mean, tip to tail, just an amazing production. And that is The English on Amazon Prime. And I know Jeff Bezos is evil and Amazon is a terrible, terrible entity. But man, did they make a really good show. Holy moly. Yeah, it's a Western. So that throws some people off from the get-go. I don't like Westerns, right? I understand you. I get it. I don't blame you for it. It's a very specific genre.
Sure.
That I think you kind of have to kind of be groomed into in a way. It's not like anybody nowadays just wake up and go, geez, I like Western stuff. No. We got computers now, man. It's not like the 50s where it's like cowboys versus Native Americans and shit. Yeah, exactly. Tumbleweeds, you know. Maybe if you're a big fan of Bush, you're into that 70s pubic style, you like the tumbleweeds, then you like Westerns. But no, seriously, this show is starring Emily Blunt. Okay. I'm not a fan of hers at all.
Mrs. John Krasinski?
I'm sure she must love that. Everywhere she goes, everybody's like, hey, is your husband Mr. Fantastic in the Marvel movies or what?
Yeah.
But no, this is she's a producer on the show as well. Yeah. It's basically about a rich, wealthy, which means the same thing, aristocrat from England who comes to the Old West post-Civil War to exact her revenge and forges a unlikely alliance with a Native American scout. And I really can't say any more without doing you some harm. Right. For those who want to invest the time to watch it. I will add this, though. 6 episodes, one basically a little over an hour episodes. So your time will be vested in that, but then it's over. It's only going to be one season. That's all I got to say about that.
It's like a story. It's a self-contained story.
Yes, yes. It's a long movie.
If it does well, they'll figure out a way to fucking stretch it out.
You never know. You know, I mean, that's just the way. Yeah, this is very true. Any way to milk the past for every drop of teat juice it's worth.
Right.
Indeed.
Dude, my favorite show that I've talked about several times on this, The Leftovers, that was on HBO, that season one was a book. I mean, there's a lot of like changes done to it, but basically the story ends, the book that it's based off of ends at the end of season one. Seasons two and three get fucking crazy. And like, to me, that's like the best stuff, but it's like, it has nothing to do with the book. You know what I mean? So like they found a way to stretch it out somehow. So I don't know.
Yep.
But the author was involved. So the author of the book was involved.
It can be done as long as the almighty dollar is involved. I mean, it's like you were talking about with the Breaking Bad in the detox. I have never seen Breaking Bad or Better Call Saul, but that's like a parallel universe thing, right? Well, I mean, it's the same universe, but I mean, it's like, it doesn't have to. It's not a sequel or a prequel or anything.
It is a prequel.
It is. Okay. But
Better Call
Saul
is a prequel.
Well, you know what? Fuck me. Fucking A. I'm just a moron. But no, seriously, my point was this, though.
Okay.
If I can ever get it out of my rambling faces, it's not the main characters of Breaking Bad, and things don't have to be anymore. It could be like a side character or something. They spin it off into its own series.
Sure. Yeah, they could do that. They do.
So the horse in the English could have his own show.
Yeah. Dude, The Mandalorian, that was like a whole story. This guy that looks like Boba Fett, the character from Star Wars, but it's not. Mm-hmm. It's not Boba Fett. It's somebody that has armor that's very similar to Boba Fett's, like from his people. But it's like, it's in the same universe. It's none of the characters really. I mean, you know, aside from a cameo here or there, but.
The people of the Mandalores, the Mandalorians, and it's the name of the show. Yeah. So,
yes.
Hey, you know what's funny? Speaking of that, all that is pre-show today, we were relating, talking about something we've both been watching on Disney Plus, and that is Willow.
Yeah, the new Willow series.
The new Willow. Speaking of just beating a dead horse, that's the sequel to the English right there. They took a dead horse from that series, beat the shit out of it, and Willow popped out. I mean, geez Louise. And, you know, I'm no fan of the original material at all.
Wow, man.
Dude, the original movie. What?
Speaking of Star Wars, that's a George Lucas story. The Willow was written by George Lucas. And Ron Howard, Clint Howard's brother, directed it. Ron Howard.
You know what? There you go. If I had met Mr. Clint Howard... And I'm saying his name with respect right now because I'm going to say something very bad. I would not only suggest the Invisalign, but I'd say, hey, guess what? Willow sucks. You should be happy you weren't in it because it stinks. Terrible fucking movie. So
he probably was in it. He probably played one of like the trolls that's like covered in hair and you can't see what they look like. He's
You're right.
Like in there.
You're right. I mean, I could go online right now and look, but I don't care to because I just don't like that movie. So why am I watching the new television series, I ask? You ask? Everybody asks? I don't know. It's like, hey, it's on. It's easy to digest, you know? So there you go. Even though, I'm going to tell you something right now, Nate. We're going to have some serious controversy going on with this new Willow show because Willow is woke, and you want to know why? There's a lesbian kiss in the first episode, baby. They're going to turn your kids gay.
I'm going to call him Ron DeSantis.
There's a little lesbian lip locking going on there, and Disney just wants to make sure everybody knows there's gays out there in the world. Someone threw a holy book and some water to burn all the sinners that produced a script like Willow.
I know.
Oh, Lord.
These groomers and Kathleen Kennedy's cult of Disney.
There's another person who's rich who needs to go see a dentist.
Oh, yeah.
Well, she's got some chiclets up in there. You ever seen her her grill?
I don't think so. I don't think I really paid attention to what she looks like. I just,
well, you got
she's it. Like, she's like this monolithic figure that I just know of, but I don't really know what she looks like. And like,
well, you should. I mean, you should really familiarize yourself with people who are just billionaire wealthy.
Yeah.
Just in case the opportunity should ever arise where you could be like the pool boy. Cabana boy.
I thought you were going to say when the opportunity came to like kidnap them or something.
No, I'm a lover. That's what I am. I'm straight up about love. I don't mess around with any of that kidnap shit. Me, I'd see Kathleen from across the room and I'd say, hey, bring those chiclets in that big wallet you got over here. I got a smoocharooski for you, baby. Yeah, I know you produced Indiana Jones. Tell me all about it. Yeah, over a course of caviar.
Yeah.
Kathleen. Yeah. Lois Lane. That, Superman Returns when Kevin Spacey, you know, the award-winning, speaking of groomers and sex offenders and shit.
Oh, man.
He's brushing his teeth. Lois Lane, Kathleen. I did not just suffer a stroke. Okay, Turk.
Hey, but Kevin Spacey was pretty good in House of Cards. We used to watch that back in the day.
He was fucking good in everything.
Yeah, no, he's a great actor. It's just he's a horrible, horrible person.
Yeah, it's a shame, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's like you almost it'd be easier to accept, like, okay, Harvey Weinstein. Wait, I was going to call him Weinstein. I've fucking fucked that up. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about. That big, fat, fucking pockmarked piece of shit. He's an ugly cocksucker. So, it turns out he's a, fucking sex criminal. You go, oh, well, piece of shit. Throw away the key. And then it's like someone who's really talented. You go, oh, man. Do I want to believe this? Can Kevin Spacey really... Is he really laying down on boys
and
making them touch his come on, Kevin. Man. You're too talented for this.
And then the people that were, like, pressing charges, some of them, like, witnesses, like, died and shit. There's, like, all these, like, weird things surrounding that case, dude. Like, it's more than just the event. The event is bad enough. But, like, the shit that's happened since around the case has been, like... shady. Like, there's, I don't know how much of it is just conspiracy theory bullshit, but there's a lot of bad press around it. I'll just say that.
I'm sure.
Check it out. You know,
I won't.
It's fun reading. It's great.
Yeah, I don't want that in my search history.
Yeah.
Let's get back to Kevin Willow. Okay. Let's get back to how terrible Willow is. Let's search Willow. Man.
I like Willow. Yeah. So I remember you telling me why, like, a factor about the old original movie Willow that now I can't unsee. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely, I do. But you can say it. I don't have to.
All right. So, you were even saying, like, you could have a drinking game where you take a shot every time Willow yells, "Mad Monaghan, Mad Monaghan," which is the name of Val Kilmer's character in it, but he does. Now that that you've said that, every time I watch it, all I can hear is Mad Monaghan every like two minutes. I just can't ignore it.
You'll be fucking smashed drunk by the end of the second act, like probably in jail because you committed a crime. You were so drunk. They yell Mad Monaghan so much. Yeah, you really could.
Sue Kathleen Kennedy.
But, well, I can either woo her via, my lovely... tactics that I have. What do they call that? What's the name for that? The official word for that?
Your groove, your libido, your
flirting.
Yeah, flirting, I guess.
Yeah, my flirting. Yeah, my libido.
Your seduction.
There we go. Dictionary Nate. I'm going to call you Nathan Dick. Dictionary.
Yeah, man.
That's neat. The seduction of Kathleen Kennedy will be my book. I'd rather do that than sue her or kidnap her.
Yeah, we'll figure this out by the end of the episode, I think. What's the best course of action?
With Kathleen?
Get her millions.
Yeah, we'll figure it out one way or the other. All I know is, I'm sure she listens to the show.
Yeah,
exactly. It's probably her favorite program. Well, she might have already turned it off because there was no Nate's Notes.
Yeah.
She might have been one of those who's like, well, what the fuck am I, what am I doing here? I came here for one thing and you're not bringing it. So adios, motherfuckers.
I hope she turned it off, because now we're talking about how to get her money.
Well, I'm offering my services in return. It's not just, you know.
But I threatened to kidnap her.
You
I'm
did.
Get in trouble.
Not me.
I'm fucked.
I'm looking at her from across the room. Kathleen. That's what I'm doing. I'm giving her the eye. My beautiful blue eyes. Ever-loving blue-eyed Dave over here. So she produces Willow. George Lucas, you mentioned that, like that was supposed to carry any weight with me whatsoever.
Yeah. No, George Lucas is a fallen star.
Is he? Is he now? Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
I dread aging like he did. It's a nightmare of mine because he's got that gobbler on his chin. Yeah. The gobble gobble.
Sure.
He's probably one that wishes everybody just skips from Halloween to Christmas so no one can call him a fucking turkey. But again, he's got more money than Davy Crockett. So he's good to go. He's fine. Yeah. But you like Willow, huh? You're enjoying this series then? You're getting your money's worth out of it?
Yeah, dude. Willow holds a, you know, special place in my heart. I enjoyed that movie when I was a kid. I was all about that fantasy shit, and I don't know. I thought it was all right. And years later, there was like a Nintendo game of Willow that I have fond memories of too. So I like that association with it. And then this is a little known fact that I'm sure some people know, but I don't know if you know. There was a show, I think it was on HBO, called Life is Short. And it was like one of those fake reality shows, almost like a Christopher Guest-y kind of thing, where it's like, it's a mockumentary, I guess. But it was following Warwick Davis, who plays Willow, who also was Wicket the Ewok in Return of the Jedi. And he's, you know, been in a ton. He was a little person that was in a ton of movies, but he was like a star, you know, and he was in Willow. That was his big vehicle. But this movie, I mean, this show, this mockumentary show was called Life is Short, and it was about him, and it followed him. Like, it was like a, like The Office, where it's like following him around and he's talking to, you know, his confessionals and it's following him through his day. But it would be things where it's like one episode, Johnny Depp is calling him because Johnny Depp is going to be playing a little person in a movie and wants to just follow him around and watch him. And like, it's like really, it's really funny, you know? And but he's having him like, okay, now go stand in that trash can over there for a minute. I just want to see, you know, how you look, and like making him do embarrassing things. And like, it's, I don't know, like Johnny Depp's some weirdo, but it's really funny. And like the people are playing themselves. But in that, Val Kilmer at the time, it was around when he was in, MacGruber, and he was,
yes,
you know, he had put on a little weight, you know, and he was kind of, but he played himself as a washed up version of himself, and he kept like harassing Warwick Davis, trying to get him to like, come on, you got to agree to do a new Willow, it'll save my career. And that was like the whole joke of the show, was that they're going to revive Willow, this one movie from the 80s. And like, it was the whole theme of the fucking Life is Short show, like of Val Kilmer's like arc. And now they really are making it. And Val Kilmer thus far hasn't been part of it because he's had throat cancer and can't really talk. And I don't know if he's ever going to make an appearance, but thus far he's been like a, you know, notable absence from the cast.
Yes. He's mentioned a plenty.
Yes. Matt Monaghan. His name has been, is ringing out again.
Yes, yeah. And he's his character. You know, I've noticed in this show, to replace his character, they've kind of given his attributes to a few different characters.
Yes,
because they have, he has children. Spoiler alert: a daughter, a son, and then he had like a protege named Borman and
Squire,
and they kind of each have qualities of Mad Mardigan about them in the show that I've noticed.
Sure.
I'm like, okay, I guess that's, you know, that's a way to do it, you know, kind of just
fill in that part of the plot.
Put a little Nutella on the toast and spread it out there a little bit to go around. But I'm not wowed by the show. I think it's okay. I just, I was surprised you were like, hey, yeah, I dig it, man. I'm like, whoa.
But
you get that
it.
Nostalgic vibe for Willow. And I would counter with this. People of our age, here's a theory for you. We're more nostalgic for things, not only because we were basically wee ones at the time where technology really took a massive step forward, entertainment-wise especially. Because, I mean, if you think about we were there for, like, Jurassic Park in 93. Who the fuck thought you're going to see computer-generated dinosaurs on screen? Or George Lucas, again, Industrial Light and Magic and stuff and all the effects they did for movies like Willow. I'm spoiling it. That was hopefully they pay me for that. Otherwise, I'm going to turn to the king. We consume stuff in a way where we only had like two or three tapes of something. Yeah. Or if you had HBO, something was played ad nauseum over and over and over again. So whether it was good or not, we have these feelings for something because we were exposed to them in a certain manner that made us care for it or fall in love with it or whatever. It's like, I love the movie Forrest Gump. Well, you know, if you look at Forrest Gump now, is it particularly the best movie ever made or anything? No. It's really, it's got a lot of flaws beyond visually and everything because of the technology. As much as I was just touting, it was limited compared to what we have today. Sure. But we only had so many things we could watch in our house. So it would be on constant play over and over and over again, you know?
Yeah.
ALF wasn't a good television show, but people talk about ALF like it was the best thing since sliced bread. Because if you compare it to what else was on nighttime TV at the time, maybe that was the thing for you. You were 7 years old, what have you. Hey, an alien on TV. This is great. I love puppets. Bing, bang, ba, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, this
so there
was
you
like
go.
A pre-Sopranos world where TV hadn't made that boost forward into, like, you know, film quality TV and, like, but yeah, no, I see what you mean about, like, rewatching and, like, yeah, now we have the option to watch anything at any time. So why would you rewatch something when you could literally watch anything else?
Uh-huh.
But back then, yeah, I'm going to rent this movie. Oh, we have it for 2 days. Yeah, maybe we'll watch it two or three times. And then, you know, next time we're at the store, there's nothing there. I'll rent that again. It was okay. You know, you had one movie or HBO was playing the same four movies on a loop or whatever. Like, yeah, you're right. You bought a movie and you watched a bunch of times, you know, like.
Yep. Or you typed it off the TV.
Yep.
And you're like, hey, this is what I got. I mean, I've seen House 2 8,000 times. Is it a good film? No, it's fucking terrible. But, you know, it was on and you taped it and that's what you had. You know, speaking of all this. All right. I was still waiting for you to like melt and go, Dave, you're right. Willow sucks. I've been exposed. You're correct. But my kid, he's got Nintendo Online, right? So sometimes he'll ask me about old games, and none of them really stick. If I say, oh, Metroid, Kid Icarus, that's the shit I used to play. Yeah, it's not really jiving with him. But for some reason, Super Mario Brothers 2 stuck. And so the moment I heard the music, I was like, let me try it. He's like, yeah, Dad. And I'm like, and I'm doing my thing, and I die. And I'm like, oh, well, it's over. He go, and he's like, stupid old man.
Yeah.
He's like, no, you rewind it. I'm like, what? He's like, it auto saves. So you can rewind it from right before you died and you can not make the mistake you just made to die.
What?
And yes, for real on Nintendo Online. So if you play any of these old games, you can just, the moment you croak, hit the back button and you're back however long you want to be. And keep playing. Yeah.
You
so
just Neo from the Matrix your way back.
Like. Yeah. Right. And, you know, saying to him, I'm like, dude, that's cheating. That is unacceptable. This is ridiculous. The whole point of the game is you got to learn from losing. You got to, you know, figure it out. And the same side, the other side, rather, not the same, because it'd be making the same argument. But I'm like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, all right. There you go. If only I had that when I was a kid, that would have been something.
We had a game genie. Remember the game genie? That you like.
Wait, do I ever?
Dude, and that thing would just like debug your game where sometimes it would just make it like tweak out where like it's like, oh, you have invincibility, but your character doesn't move as he moves across the screen. Like he's just frozen. Like, you know, just something would look weird or there'd be like. Weird shit, like something. I don't know. It's bizarre. Now you can rewind the fucking game.
Yeah, I was going to say, with the Game Genie, you had to strap on the, like, Ripley's armor from Aliens or whatever, to, like, on your cartridge to make it play, right?
Yep.
So, It wasn't just like, oh, yeah, Game Genie is a download you had. No, it was a physical thing you had to strap onto your cartridge.
Yeah, so it could fight the alien queen.
Yeah, cartridge porn.
Get away from her, you bitch!
Oh, yeah, there we go. I was singing McDonald's jingles, and now you owe James Cameron some money.
Yeah, James Cameron and Sigourney Weaver.
Avatar 2. Gonna go see it?
What about it? No. I'm sure I'll see it when it's streaming, but... You know, I love it.
I love it. We just went from like we used to watch what we had to watch, so what I had the tape of, and now meh.
Maybe.
Oh, I'll stream it.
Yeah, movies lose their specialness too, because if you go to a theater, yeah, it gives a movie a little more gravitas. Like, I remember watching like fucking the new trilogy of Star Wars. We go back to George Lucas here. Force Awakens or whatever, the first of the three new shitty Star Wars movies. And the first time I saw it, because you're seeing X-Wings on a big screen and TIE fighters and fucking whatever, lightsabers, you're like, wow, like it's big. It's a momentous thing. And it's something like you almost feel emotionally like manipulated, I guess. And like that. So I watched it. And I'm like, yeah, that was kind of cool, man. And then I talked to like my brother who's had time to like analyze it, and he's obsessed with Star Wars. Like we grew up, he was big in Star Wars. He's just like picking the thing apart, like every scene, like, dude, come on, like this, blah, 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 this. And I'm like, by the end of it, I'm like, I hate that movie now.
You've been swayed.
Yeah, but I realized if I had watched it on a TV, all that shit is way more apparent when you're just like kind of watching it, and it's the projection of it, the presentation of it.
The sound, you know, you're in a dark room, you're freaking overpriced popcorn in your lap, covering your bona. I mean, come on, right? I hate the theater, by the way, so it's weird I'm selling it right now, but it's the experience is what you fell in love with.
Yeah, man.
Right? But then when you stop and you dissect it and you start thinking about it, you're like, the story really sucks and everything else, so... Whatever. Yeah. I didn't mind. I didn't see it in the theater. I saw it at home.
Yeah.
I'm not anti-trilogy. I thought it was okay. It was, I mean, I feel like I keep saying this word, digestible.
Sure.
But, I mean, I wasn't repulsed by the newest Star Wars films. Because you know why? You want to know why I really like the new Star Wars films? Because I think the producer, Kathleen Kennedy, is fantastic. I'm assuming she produced it.
Butter her up. That's all you're trying to do.
Butter her up so I can wipe her out.
Those movies were fine.
yeah. Sure I do, baby. Whatever you say. How do I open the vault? 10 to the left, 8 to the right, 4 to the whatever. Yeah. And that's just to find the clitoris, let alone the money. So, yeah. All right. Movies. What a trip.
Yeah, man.
Now, Nate, we do have to hit the road soon because you got places to be, people to see.
I do. You do. We both do.
But I did want to add real quick that you had mentioned off air, which I really wish you just save all this stuff for on air so I don't have to do this now.
Okay.
But you enjoyed a new form of massage prior to visiting with me today.
Sure.
Can you please describe it to our listening audience, please?
Yeah, just quickly. So I have a membership at one of the big gym chains, you know, and you pay a certain amount. And yeah, you can use the gym equipment, but then you can get into their little lounge that has tanning beds and these massage chairs that just kind of like have, you know, whatever. They massage you like little robots. And then they have the hydro massage beds where you're like inclined, you're laying down and you're laying on this. It's like a thin piece of plastic that they shoot a jet of water up at you. Basically, it's like jets of water shooting at your back, but you don't get wet because it's like a layer of plastic in between you. But it's like being in a hot tub, but you're not getting wet, like the jets, and they're like, you can control how strong they are. But dude, it's like 10 minutes long, you can control where it goes on your body, have it just focus on one area, whatever. Dude, the minute it stops, I go in there and I take like two big rips off my THC vape pen. And by the time that thing is done with like 10 minutes of just this vibrate, you're like vibrating. Your muscles are all being like loosened up. And by the time it's done, it just stops. And for like 10 seconds after it stops, you just lay there and you feel like your whole body is just tingling and vibrating. It's this amazing feeling, but it's great after you work out, you know, you go on this thing and
It sounds luxurious and wonderful. I mean,
it's wonderful. Yeah.
It's like a bidet, but your anus stays dry.
Yeah.
So that's nice.
Yeah, it's like a full body bidet, but with like a dental dam over it or something.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like a latex barrier. You know,
massaging your aura, keeping that pure and clean.
Bideting my aura, if you will.
Yeah, getting all the toxic chemicals out of your aura.
Yeah.
Your chakra cleanse, right?
Yep, just like spraying all the fecal matter off of my soul. You know?
Yeah, there's a lot of it.
And you end up tingly and squeaky clean, you know?
Yeah, squeaky clean. Yes, you do.
Yeah, man.
You know, it's funny you say that because I do have a clip loaded up. I think I'm going to play that's left over.
Okay.
So let's go to that right now.
Ocean breeze soap will get you clean.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute.
Wait just a second.
You mean just say what the product does? Well, no one's ever tried that.
Well, it's crazy.
Why, it's nuts.
We love it.
Oh, yeah. That's a line that lives in my head rent-free, as the Ninos would say. You know, as far as movies go, Muppets Take Manhattan is an absolute classic of a film because I owned it on VHS and watched it a billion times.
Probably sucks, you know.
No, I'll really fight you on that one. But still, that's a wonderful clip. Soap, it makes you clean.
The late, great Jim Henson.
Yes, and I wish more companies were just honest about things that they sold. Like us, we're selling you a good time, baby. That's it. Our podcast is free. We don't ask you for any money unless you want to send me some money.
That'd be great. Could you guys send us some money?
Yeah. You know, Nate's gym membership isn't free.
Right, man. I got Venmo. You can just, you know, get in touch with me.
Venmo him up. He needs to sit in that PayPal massage chair. There you go. PayPal, whatever it takes, man. But, Nate, you know, I'm so happy that you finally made your return after months of being away from the show. It showed.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I'm sure our regular listeners were like, geez, Dave is just sucking.
Dude, you held it down. You did some with Toby. You did your own episode. It was, you held it down, my friend. And you know, how are you feeling just quickly before we go after your fucking surgical fucking adventure?
Oh, yeah, my surgery.
Oh, my neck, my back, my neck and my back. Oh,
my hip feels pretty good. Yeah. That's what I had, by the way, hip replacement surgery, for anybody who stuck around this long and didn't know. I'm a very young man, handsome man, healthy man, but I needed a new hip socket ball thingamajiggy. I have a giant scar, and it is on my hip, so you'd only see it if I was wearing a bikini, and I would, if you did inquire, so if you ever see me on the street, ask anyway, even if I'm wearing blue jeans, just ask, and I would tell you that. Well, no. That's my skin, my flesh, my body, my privacy.
Get away, Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, there you go. Unless your name's Kathleen, don't talk to me. No, seriously, though, I'm going to tell people that I saved a boatload of orphans delivering life-saving medicine to senior citizens in Sri Lanka from a shark. Okay. That's what I'm going to tell people. And that's the story. I'm sticking to it, all right?
Well,
but I'm okay. I'm all right.
You got bit.
I got bit, baby, bit by the love bug. So, yeah. But I thank you for asking. And thank you for waiting for the last possible minute to inquire about my health.
I was just trying to keep you from having too much time to bitch about it, man. That's all.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding, man. I am I am concerned with how you're doing.
But I was trying to get us out of here.
All right.
I thought the begging for money thing was a perfect way to cap this whole thing off.
Yeah, well, I push things too far. That's how I do.
Okay, Tom Waits.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
He says, he has a song where he says, "My little Kathleen." I was thinking that.
Yeah.
Said,
really?
Too bad we don't have, too bad we didn't have the clip set up.
It all comes next time. I'll play it completely out of context. That's what I'll do.
Right.
I do want to thank each and every one of you for taking the time to listen to us today. Virtual hugs for everyone. And in the case of Nate,
I'm back!
so nice to have him return to the show. Hopefully you'll be here next time as well.
Yeah,
I'm
nice
done flying solo without you.
Yeah, I'll
not
write
doing
Nate's
it
notes.
No more.
I'm gonna commit to it, writing in Nate's notes for next time. I apologize again.
I'll shut this motherfucker down.
All right, man.
That's what I'll do.
Fair enough.
Yeah. You know what I'll do? I'm going to go get a new co-host. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have you fucking replaced. How's that sound?
All right, tell them to write a fucking essay every fucking episode.
Don't. You know what? Actually, they probably could. You know what they write about?
What?
Vegetables.
I love cone. Cone.
I'll get the fucking corn kid up in here to host with me. How's that sound,
man.
Motherfucker?
All right, I might let you do that then, because I would love to hear that.
Yeah. He likes cone. Mm. And Nate's been fucking kicked out.
I'll step aside for the corn kid. I'll step aside.
There you go. You're a noble, noble man. You're a noble steed. Right, let's go. All right.
All right.
Anyway, I am Dave. That is Nate. And this has been The Selling Out Show.
Peace.
I'm back. Wake up to the devil.